We're going to continue from Galatians, and this time when we kick it off, it'll be at about 16th verse. I'd, as you know, at Antioch, Paul withstood Peter to his face because he said he was to be blamed. That certain came from the church in Jerusalem, from James. And when they came, Peter and some of the other Jews quit eating with the Gentiles. Several was caught up in the dissimulation, which is another word for hypocrisy. And so Paul withstood Peter to his face, because he said he was to be blamed. Well, the Galatians then, these Judaizers, went from Antioch to Galatia. And again, a Judaizer believes that a Gentile become a seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, all right. But to be perfect, they had to go on to keep the law. So in Galatia, he was saying, you want to go under the law? You want to go back under the law? You that's been born again? Then hear what the law says. He says, how can you start out in the flesh or in the spirit, born again, and then be perfected by the flesh? So he says, hear what the law says. He says, who has bewitched you or is practicing witchcraft on you that you could possibly believe that you could start out born again in the spirit and end up perfect by the law? He says, you want to go back under the law? He says, I came out from under it. So hear what the law has to say. So he began to instruct them. His writings, Galatia, book of Galatians and Romans, is somewhat hard to understand unless a person has a pretty good working knowledge of the purpose of the law. So that's why people will just take quotes, verses, scriptures out of both books. And some of them will quote them with some accuracy. Some will wrestle them to their own destruction and make statements of grace, such as, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So they excuse themselves from the responsibility of sin because they separate sin from themselves and say they're only righteous in spirit, so it doesn't matter what their flesh does. Because people do not understand, they wrestle things to their own destruction. But if you understand the purpose and the nature of the law, then you can go on to understand grace. And to me, to have the kind of faith Paul was talking about, I mean, absolute, ultimate, mountain moving, devil stomping faith. And you have got to understand when the old covenant, the law, the covenant gave way to sonship. When there was a change of covenant to sonship between Romans 7 and 8. And in that is the understanding of how sin has lost its dominion over you. And when you were born again, and he says that sin lost its dominion over you. In essence, he said it something like that when you were, oh my,
Don talebo sele choma. Don de cleso de voramata cleso esse. Don de carima so de caramatu asure esse. E cupieto ensi. Dio ma sico vabamente.
First part of this, he said something to me, is that he knew that I would have never broken cadence in my teaching because this is what this hour is designed for. It's just strictly teaching. So that he knows I wouldn't have varied from it had he not taken this away from my mind for a moment and brought the tongues forward. That's the first thing he said to me. And then as the interpretation of the tongue began to come, this is what he said. Not exactly that, but he said, didn't I warn you that discouragement would come? Didn't I warn you that you who could be discouraged would be discouraged? And know this, that darkness gets the darkest as Satan collects his hosts of darkness, knowing that his time is short for his last onslaughts. For he has been noticing the gathering of spiritual things and knows that he can only withhold this for a short time. So be encouraged and be strong, saith the Lord. For the atmosphere around you is changing as heaven orders things to be moved here and there for the outpouring that is to come. So be encouraged, saith the Lord. Strengthen yourself and encourage yourself, and don't back up, but rather enter in and fight the good fight of faith. For the time is short, and you shall see many of those things begin that I have promised you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I can exhort you a little on that. That many of you sowers will catch up with the reaper, and you'll carry the flames of revival as firebrands. You'll go out, and wherever you land, you'll ignite revival, because you and yourself will be consumed by it. Well, let's see if we can go back now. Isn't that something? He knew that I wouldn't do this myself. So he broke in. And did you know if you're a teacher, it's a horrible feeling to have your mind leave you? That if a person's going to have ultimate faith, I mean ultimate faith, the kind, not half of a ministry or spurts of ministry, to where you minister for a while, then he come and takes a blank area of your life, the enemy does, and recaptures you and pulls you down and humiliates you in front of everybody with something. Or you know what's happened to so many ministries. You're going to have longevity, you know, where your life continue to be a testimony. And continue that your lamp will burn brighter and brighter as the years go by to your old age, Jesus Terry. Your testimony will be, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I've sown the good seed. Come, get me. I'm ready to be offered. But when a person does not understand who you are and what you have, then it is that lack of understanding that usually the devil will come in on, and he'll get you. He'll end up reprogramming that part of your life that's lacking and cancel you out somewhere. And as you know, we've had many generals of the faith get canceled out because he would come in on some area of the life that they were lacking in the Word of God, that they hadn't strengthened and put everything down and built Jesus and who they were in Him up in the place of it, and ended up being a great testimony. I mean, you that will end up being a great testimony at the end of your days. To me, that's becoming increasingly more important by the moment. Well, what Paul was teaching here in that change of covenant to sonship from Romans 7 to 8, that he dictated how that who will save me from this body of sin, this body of death that I've been imprisoned in? And he was talking, of course, in Romans 7 about the Jew who had received the law and couldn't keep it. Because by the law was the knowledge of sin. They couldn't keep it. That he's, who will save me from this body of death, and change from Romans 7 to 8. He said, thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Well, sin lost its dominion, see. When sin lost its dominion, it turned to sonship. He said, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That one you received from Adam that just generates bondage and fear even when you tried to serve God and keep the law. All it gendered or generated was bondage and fear because they were spiritually dead and couldn't. That's why Paul said, I'd not known sin, said the law said, thou shalt not sin. Because a spiritually dead man who's born that way doesn't know he's dead. How do you know you're dead? How do you know that you could ever or ever would be anything than what you are? When all you've ever been is born that way. So the law became the schoolmaster because you had no way of knowing what you were until a schoolmaster came and told you. Well, Ali said, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. Well, he said, you receive not the spirit of bondage again to fear. That you had a spirit that when you tried to serve God under the law, you could not do it. Now, of course, a Gentile, they didn't go through that. But he was speaking to the Jew who knew the law. See, the Galatians were trying to go back under it. So he said, hear what the law has to say. And this is where people miss it. They don't understand it. You receive not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but this is the one you received. You receive the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. That the Holy Spirit is finally bearing witness with your spirit that you have become a son of God. So you were adopted into sonship. You received a born-again spirit. And when that happened to you, then you were set free in your spirit and became a son of God. But understanding who you are in that sonship is the key to longevity. I don't know about you, but the further I go into this understanding of who He has made me when I was born again, the freer and the freer. I don't know if this is good wording or not, but the more free that I become. So people will just take verses out of Galatians and out of Romans and just kind of quote them and put any meaning they want to them. But when you break them down to find out how really free that you have become from sin, it losing its dominion, and you were literally born again and received a nature from God that actually made you the sons and the daughters of God. Now that's free. When you begin to understand that, then the longevity will come. Well, in Galatians here, in this third chapter, he was differentiating between the covenant of Abraham, the law which was added 430 years later, and then finally, our sonship, or us becoming children, when the promise to Abraham was fulfilled. So let's pick it up where we left off here. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. 16th verse says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. So when he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and he says, not unto seeds as of many, as of one, He was saying in particular, this is who the promises were made to. They were made to Abraham and his seed, singular, which was Jesus Christ. So God was promising Abraham and his seed, which was Christ. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, he said, which is Christ. So in reality, everything that God was promising to Abraham, he was really promising through Abraham to Christ. He went on to say, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, and the covenant he's talking about right there is the covenant that God made with Abraham. He said, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after that covenant, 430 years after that covenant that he made with Abraham, cannot disannul that first covenant. That it should make that promise that God made to Abraham none effect. He went on to say in 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, or then, what serveth the law? Wherefore then serveth the law? He says, it, the law, was added because of transgressions, till the seed, which was Christ, should come to whom the promise was made. Now notice the wording here. And it, what? The law was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator? No. And it was returned to the promise. Not the law, the promise that God made to Abraham, to his seed singular, which was Christ. Now, I get the Greek book out and read the commentary to you last week. How many remembers? It says, Now we don't seem to quite understand what this means. And I read a little bit of it. I really got a kick out of it. Now when I get into those Greek books, I'll read the commentaries all right, because I get a lot of valuable historical information from time to time. But sometimes when the translators, when they put their own personal remarks in, that's where you get in trouble. So they said, well, the covenant that God gave to Moses doesn't seem to shed much light on this, because they believed that what he was talking about here was talking about the covenant that was delivered by Moses under the law. And notice the wording on this again. Wherefore then serveth the law? Well, it was added because of transgression till what? Till Jesus came, till the seed should come, till the promise was made, and it, and everybody says, and what was it? Well, it was the law, and the law was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So the mediator they always talk about that mediated the law was Moses. So when you try to put Moses in there, that's where you get messed up. And so as long as I meditated, according to the commentary, saying that that was Moses there, and it, the law, was ordained by angels and in the hands of a mediator. So I'd meditate on that. Ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator, and the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And I'd meditate on that, and I'm going, okay, a mediator is not a mediator of one, and the mediator is Moses, but God is one. So mediator is mediator one, and God is one of the mediator. He's one that he's mediating. So mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Who's the other one? Who's the other one? You know, I'd meditate, And as long as I'd keep meditating, putting Moses in there, I'd just get frustrated and put it up, read through Galatians again and come up on that again and wonder and wonder and wonder. And finally, just one day, you know, the Holy Spirit just had to break through. But I'll tell you what. See, you can't keep praying in the Holy Ghost and not having breakthrough. Because praying in the Holy Ghost in tongues is a revelation gift. You just can't keep doing it without having him break through. I can still remember the day that it broke through. I was sitting at my desk back there, and I don't know how, I'd probably been in there 3 or 4 hours praying in tongues, going over those chapters, and all of a sudden there was a flash in my spirit, just a flash in my spirit over to Hebrews the 6th chapter, where it says, when God could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And he says, he's not a mediator of one, but God is one. And I says, now wait a minute, God's one and he's swearing by himself. I said, what'd God stand up and say, I'm great, there's nobody greater than me, so I'm going to make a promise, because there's nobody greater than me, I'm going to swear by myself. So here I am, is there anybody greater than me? No, nobody greater than me. So I'm going to make a promise, and because there's nobody greater than me, I'm going to say, look, I'm swearing by myself, I'm going to keep this promise. And that's kind of what we think. But it's because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. You know, in Hebrews, we kind of think that's what he's talking about. I'm greater, there's nobody higher than me. Can you go any higher than God? No. So when God swears by himself saying, I promise you by myself. Well, you know when he promised you, it was God promising you. So he didn't have to say, look, do you know who I am? I'm God. You can't go any higher than me. You know, it seems to me God walks up to you. He says, I'd like to make a promise. He doesn't have to stand there and explain to you, I am God. Try to go higher than me. I created everything. Nothing that exists does not exist except I created it. Besides me, there's nothing. There's nothing beyond me. I'm it. I am. You're what? You're what? I am. So when he walks up to you and he says, I am going to bless you. And so he stands back and says, now I'm really great. I'm God. Because I can swear by no greater. There's nobody greater than me. I'm going to back my promise up by swearing by myself. Because I can swear by no greater. I'll keep my promise to you. Well, the fact that he's God already made him who he is. So when he says, well, I'm going to swear by myself, well, what good will that do? You're still you. And you go up to somebody and you say, I swear on my honor, I'm going to keep my word. You evaluate them. And you say, they're not going to keep it. You know, I know them. So they can say, I can swear by no greater. I'm going to swear by myself. I'll keep my word to you. And you're going, yeah, sure. I lost that money. See, this is why your word is so important. This is why your word is so important. If you learn to keep your word, you'll learn faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, here we thought he was talking about Moses' covenant that God made with Moses when he gave him the law. That this is what we thought he was taught. Why? Because of the wording of the scripture, see. But this whole time he was differentiating between the two. That is the promise to Abraham and the law. And so he ends up with this verse saying, well, what serveth the law? He says, well, it was added to the covenant because of transgressions until Jesus, the seed, should come, and to whom God was promising that through this seed, Christ, that Abraham would inherit. So he's saying it was added because of transgressions until that seed should come to whom the promise was made. And then it says, and it. But I want you to notice something here. Notice the word and there. And it. And was. It was in those funny little italics, those little slant to it that means, you know, kind of crooked wording. Like they kind of owe it to you when they insert a few words. Well, we read to you how the Greek reads. They put statements backwards and it's tremendous. I love to read it. But King James translator thought, well, between this thought and this thought, there's really no lead-in. There's no coupling here. It just kind of throws you from one thought to the next. Well, that's the good way to do it, you know. King James wanted to help you out, so sometimes they'll put a few words in there trying to help you understand the meaning of the verses. Well, that's what they put in when they put in, and it was. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. And a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now watch very closely how this reads. Very closely. Wherefore, 19th verse, wherefore then serveth the law? Actually, it just says, wherefore then the law? Wherefore then the law? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come, Jesus, to whom God promised, the promise was made, ordained. What was ordained? The promise. And it was not in there. To whom the promise was made, ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. In the law, God spoke. God spoke to Moses. I mean, he spoke to him through the spiritual death. He descended on Mount Sinai and had to cover it up with the cloud of darkness. I mean, here John says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Yet he was surrounded by a cloud of darkness. Why? That darkness represented the spiritual death of humanity. God was on the other side of it. They couldn't see him. But they could sure see the thunders and the lightnings and hear his voice. My God, they heard it with the outer ear. You know, he thundered and lightning and everything. That's what a spiritually dead man needs. He needs signs and wonders, doesn't he? He needs thunder and lightning and 85 people to get out of wheelchairs right in front of him. And he'll go, whoa! Yeah, well, pretty soon, like Nicodemus, you'll know him through his nature. But right now, you need thunder, boy. Hallelujah. Well, God talked to Moses directly. But you know the account in Genesis 22. When God addressed Abraham, the angel called out of heaven. He says, stay your hand, because I can swear by no greater. I swear by myself, Abraham, that your seed shall inherit the gates of your enemy. And he's talking about Christ. That promised was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. But a mediator, he says, is not a mediator of one. But God is one. So in Hebrews 6, when God brought me over there, and he says, well, he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. So we know now that in this verse, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And the word and it was isn't in there. It just says, what serveth the law was added because of transgression. He says, until the seed should come to whom the promise was made, ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. What was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator? The promise that God made to Abraham. The promise. Whew, the promise. Have you ever wondered why God waited until Abraham's body was dead past the age of children. Sarah's womb was dead. Past the age of children. Because it was a type of the spiritual death of the human race. Because Isaac was a child of promise and could not be produced by the flesh, just like Jesus could not be produced out of the spiritual dead state of the human race and was also a child of promise and had to be produced by the Spirit. And was ordained, the promise He made to Abraham was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. The mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. That's correct. Because a mediator cannot be a mediator. It's impossible without having to mediate between two parties. So why would He say a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one, if He wasn't talking about there not being two parties as you and I understand them, that this man Abraham was mediating between? A mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So first He tells you a mediator can't mediate between just one. Just walk up to one person and say, I'd like to mediate something. Well, He'd say, with who? Well, with myself. Well, that's between me and you. A mediator goes between two parties. So why would He say that? And yet go on to say that God is one. And that's where we get confused. But once I knew by that flash in my spirit, that flash of revelation, once I knew He was talking about Abraham's covenant here, well, then the next thing He did was the moment He flashed Hebrews 6 along with that. You know, the whole thing just expanded in my spirit and I understood what He was talking about. Because God could swear by no greater. He swore by who? Because God could swear by no greater. Did He stand up and say, there is no higher?
No.
There is no higher than me. Well, God, you know you're who you are. I already know there's no higher. You don't have to swear by yourself. But He says He could swear by no greater. He swore by Himself. Well, a mediator is not a mediator one. But God is one. So what in the world is He talking about here? What's He talking about? Well, I can't begin to tell you how free this set me when I found out. Well, let's read through this again and see who these promises were really made to. Let's see who they were really made to. Because God could swear by no greater. He swore by Himself. Let's see who He was really promising. Let's see who called Himself one that Abraham was mediating between. Backing up to 16 again. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, Abraham, stand up here. Stand up here, boy, right here. I'm going to make promises to you, but I'm not really making them to you. I'm passing through you. You're just a mediator. I need you. Because you're a mediator, a go-between in the truest sense. But the promises I'm really making to is because I'm God and I'm one. The second person in the Godhead, whom you know as the Logos, is who I'm calling Abraham up here to mediate between. I'm God, I'm one, but I need a mediator between two parties of the Godhead, because I can swear by no greater. I'm about to swear by myself. I'm going to swear through you, Abraham, to steed singular, which is Christ. Why did he need a mediator? Let me use that. Come up here. Stand right there. Now here's the Father. Now here's the Son. But at this time he's known in John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, Logos. In the beginning was Logos, was the Word. He was with God, and He was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the second person in the Godhead. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The next verse says, that in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Well, He switched from His deity to His humanity. And that life that was in Him was the first human spirit to be born spiritually alive in 4,000 years. In Him was life. That life was the light of man. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So that was the true light. That same life that was in that spirit. First human spirit to be born spiritually alive in 4,000 years. That light shined in the darkness, the fifth verse says, and darkness comprehended it not. That one solitary human spirit with the nature of God in it was shining in all the spiritual darkness of the human spirits of the human race. See. But at this point in the Godhead, He was known as the mighty Logos. He was known as the mighty Jehovah. Yet God needed a way to get into the earth. And so He mediated a covenant through a man. His name was Abraham. So He was going to send the second person of the Godhead into this earth. And He did that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit through a virgin, Mary. But He had to have an avenue into this flesh. So He found a man that He could mediate a covenant through. And this man's name was Abraham. So He says, Abraham, come up here. So He says, you come up here, boy, and I want you to stand between the two members of the Godhead, because I want to mediate a covenant with you. Because I could swear by no greater, Abraham. I'm going to swear by myself, which is to seed singular. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one. That God is one. The Godhead is one. So God was swearing through a mediator to Himself, which was the second person in the Godhead. Promises were not to seeds as of many, but seeds as of singular, and to thy seed, Abraham, which was Christ. And Abraham, I need a mediator. I need a mediator. Mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So this mediator supplied God's avenue into this earth. That when He pulled him in to the mediation, He said, Abraham, I need you. I need to swear by you, because it is through you and you mediating this covenant and through your seed that this promise is going to come. So since I can swear by no greater as a mediator, I'm going to swear through you to myself. And if you will mediate this and let me bring this through your seed, the day will come when Christ will appear through your seed to whom I made these promises to. And I'm going to tell you right now, boy, I can swear by no greater. I'm swearing by myself. So I promise you, Abraham, to myself, that everything I promise you will come to pass.
Hallelujah.
Through your seed. Well, let's go over and let's look at Hebrews 6 just for a minute, shall we? Hallelujah. Hebrews 6. Thirteenth verse. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Do you understand the ramifications? Do you? He said, because I could swear by no greater, I swore by myself. That you and you and you will be my sons and my daughters if you want to be. Because I could swear by no greater. I swore by myself that I'll take disease from the midst of you. If you believe me, it'll vanish. Because I could swear by no greater, I swore by myself that I would make you a son and I'd give you my inheritance from my house before you ever get to heaven. Now, you can carry on my work with it. I could swear by no greater. I swore by myself that my seed, I will give you peace. Because I could swear by no greater, I swore by myself. I'll send you the Holy Ghost to seal you with. And when you go out and preach, my son, my power will follow you. Is promising you to myself to keep my promise to you enough? You say, God, you promised me. Say, no. No, God, you promised yourself and promised me. I'm finding out how the Holy Ghost can take who Jesus made me and quicken it. Bring that power forward, because God could swear by no greater. He swore by himself that he would perform everything he promised me when he made me. And you nor the devil or anybody else can stop that kind of power, that kind of promise. Because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself that he'd give me the wisdom that I needed to rise up and take the business, take the, no, I don't want to move to Tulsa. The wages are too low. Well, that depends whether they're working for you or not, doesn't it?
Glory.
Well, I used to live on the other side of the track. Well, I did too until I bought all of it. You know that bank I used to carry my money down to? I own it. And for you that have enough faith to stand up in the devil's face for hour after hour and say, I won't accept this. This is what God said about me. I won't accept it. I won't accept it. God will come. He'll come. He'll come. You're not a beggar. You're a son. A son.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
You need to get excited enough to do something about it. What? Something with what? With what he made you. If the circumstances are against you, stay in there until you change them. You're the boss here. From glory to glory. Makes you wonder what's in here.